Are you looking for that certain special someone? Someone to share life's big decisions with?
I am. I just don't know where to look.
Don't worry. At Experian.co.uk, we've helped thousands of people find happiness by introducing them to their data self.
I'm in love already.
Find out how your data self could help you make better financial decisions. Meet yours at Experian.co.uk today.
Wednesday, June 27th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from Denver, Colorado, and you know, we are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense, maybe just a touch of sarcasm here or there. We pride ourselves on having a little bit of both here at The Dose. We are doing our best to keep you entertained every single day. Happy Wednesday to you. We are slowly but surely making our way through another week. You know, today, June 27th is actually the day back in 1988 that Mike Tyson knocked out Michael Spinks in just 91 seconds. Remember that? Back in Atlantic City? Remember back when we thought Mike Tyson was just this tough, hard-nosed kid and we didn't realize that he was actually a complete lunatic that would eventually threaten to eat children or tattoo his face or bite someone's ear off? Now he's like doing Broadway shows or whatever it is that he's doing these days. It was a simpler time back then, wasn't it? When we just thought, oh, he's just a brash young kid. He's tough, knocks guys out. Granted, they weren't great fighters, but he was knocking guys out nonetheless. You know, sometimes here on the Daily Dose, we like to look back at simpler times like that. Enjoy those memories of yesteryear because I've got news for you. They're not coming back. Sometimes we do look at a little sports history here on The Dose as well. If you would like to contact the show, let us know maybe your memories of Mike Tyson back when he wasn't so crazy. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you need a little advice. We would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we do have a couple things coming out in the world of breaking news that we do want to discuss. But you know, we also have a few other things to get to today. Now, the NBA is done. Finals are done. The postseason is done. The draft is done. NBA free agency is coming very, very quickly, like within days. It's going to be upon us. Now, what are some of the biggest storylines that we should keep an eye on this NBA offseason? Because you know, I'm looking around at the NBA and I'm seeing some very, very interesting things that I want to watch as we go over the summer, into the fall, and into next year. Plus, NBA free agency is coming quickly, like I said, and our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings
Hump Day
just might look at something that we're going to want to keep in mind as NBA free agency begins. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind today. A couple things coming out in the world of breaking news. You know, there's not a whole lot of things going on in the world of sports right now. Yes, we saw Argentina somehow hold on for dear life and advance. So now they do get out of the first round. Yes, we saw that, but there's not a whole lot going on right now. But there's one thing that I did miss talking about earlier this week. And that was for the second year in a row, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has been voted the number one player in the NFL by his peers around the league. Not sure if you saw that, but the NFL's top 100 list wrapped up on Monday night. Tom Brady came in the very top spot. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown came in at second. Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz was third. Atlanta Falcons receiver Julio Jones was fourth, and Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell rounded out the top five. Now, just a couple of other notable spots on this list. Maybe you watched this show on NFL Network. Maybe you missed it. I know there's not a whole lot on to watch these days, but I'm not sure if you tuned in to see the top 100 at all this year. But Los Angeles Rams running back Todd Gurley actually came in sixth. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, he came in at 10th. Now, there are a couple things that I noticed just looking at the top 10. One, Aaron Rodgers is clear down at 10, but he was injured, right? So we're going to drop him back a few spots because, well, I mean, he was injured. He didn't play. We saw him miss a good amount of time. So he's not going to be as high as he normally would be, because I think if we were just picking up teams, like if we just went out on the playground and we started picking up teams, I have a suspicion someone's probably going to take Aaron Rodgers pretty high. If you're not, you might be crazy. But they marked him down because he was hurt, right? Okay, understandable. Then again, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz was hurt, but he's up at number 3. Kind of makes me wonder if maybe some of the people voting in this, and I know these votes were by the players, some of the people are kind of voting, well, who won last year? Let's just go down the list and say, okay, they won last year. Okay, then we're going to put them there. Might not be the greatest way to make your list, but I do think there was some of that at play there, because if I give you the choice of Aaron Rodgers healthy, Carson Wentz healthy, it may change eventually. You're probably still taking Aaron Rodgers, aren't you? I mean, isn't that what this list is? We're going to rank the top 100? I don't know. Maybe not. Because I also see some other things. I don't know that I see the people that I would be picking first and foremost at the top of the list. I'd be taking defensive linemen, especially interior. I'd be taking offensive linemen, again, trying to build up that line of scrimmage as much as I could. Who do we see coming in at number 2? And who do we see coming in at number 4? Two wide receivers in Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. Wide receivers? Is that where you're building your team? Is out at the edge? I'm not so sure about that. Is wide receiver the second and fourth best player in the entire NFL? I mean, we can find wide receivers, can't we? It's not that hard to find a wide receiver. You can go out and look down the list and go, okay, well, what about the guy down at 15th or 18th or 20th? There are a million wide receivers out there. Why do we have these guys ranked so high? Are they that important? I kind of struggle with some of the mentality of making this top 100 list. I mean, if wide receiver is so important, how in the world is Tom Brady number 1? Because we know he can't catch a lick. We all saw that in the Super Bowl.
Meanwhile, third down and 5 here. And now you got to flip back here to Danny Amendola, who throws, and it's Brady who can't pull it in. So
just kind of confusing to me. Maybe that's just me. I was confused by a few things coming out in the news, though, yesterday. Here's another one. This came out of the NBA. You know, there's a lot of speculation about where LeBron James is going to end up this summer. We may just be talking about that here in just a few minutes. But, you know, LeBron says he will make his decision by July 4th. Hey, that's coming next week. That's coming very, very quickly. Now, one team that is chasing LeBron James, of course, is the Los Angeles Lakers. But I did hear some really interesting comments from Lakers president of basketball operations, Magic Johnson, this week. Now, earlier in the week, he made a statement that if he can't bring big name free agents to Los Angeles within 2 years, he will step down from his position. That's what he says. He says he'll step down. If you're judging us on one summer, that's ridiculous, Magic said. Lakers owner Jeannie Buss won't have to fire me because I would resign if we can't get some top tier free agents in the next 2 years. Then, just yesterday, Magic Johnson said that he is feeling no pressure whatsoever to bring stars to LA via free agency or via trade. According to The Athletic, Magic Johnson said, "You know how many finals I've been in? So you think I'm worried about this? I played against Larry Bird in the finals. I played in 9 NBA finals." Really? Again, a little bit confused by some of the things coming out here. I'm just kind of wondering, did Magic Johnson take a few shots to the head in his career? Because don't those two statements completely contradict each other? Like, one statement says, hey, if I don't bring in some free agents here soon, you guys are fine to fire me. I absolutely deserve to be fired. I should be bringing people into LA. It's the Lakers. This is the franchise. If I can't bring people in, Jeannie Buss should fire me. And in the very next day, he says the statement, hey, I don't have any pressure. I already won my rings. What am I missing here? Like I said, did Magic take some shots to the head? Did those fights that he had back in the day, back when you actually could fight on the NBA floor, did he have some damage there? Because this doesn't even make any sense. Like, I would think the pressure is the statement you just said yesterday. You said you had pressure or you're going to get fired or you're going to resign. This doesn't even make any sense. And by the way, just one brief side note. Like I said, the Lakers are going to be chasing LeBron. Can I just throw this out there? Get some free advice from the Daily Dose to Magic Johnson. If I were Magic, I wouldn't lead with the whole, hey, I've already won my rings. I've already got all kind of rings. Do you know how many rings that I had in my career? I wouldn't lead with that when you're pitching to LeBron. Like, don't bring up rings. Don't bring up, like, I played with really good teammates. I had, like, Kareem and Worthy and Michael Cooper and all those guys. I wouldn't bring that up. I wouldn't bring up things like, make sure your teammates know the timer score. If things get hectic, you can always call a timeout. Or don't bring up Kobe. Like, my God, don't bring up Kobe. You can tell there is definitely some friction there between LeBron James and Kobe. Again, just some free advice from me to Magic. I don't understand what he's talking about. One sentence he says there's no pressure, and the next sentence he says there's pressure. I don't get it. Maybe that's just what makes sense right now in the NBA, because the NBA is a huge contradiction right now. Now, like I said, coming back, the NBA season is now complete. The postseason is over. The draft is over. There are some storylines we are going to want to watch as we head into the offseason and as we get into next year. What should we be watching for? There's some very, very interesting things that we're going to keep an eye on.
The crowd is electric. There's a real air of anticipation today. And here it comes, our midfield general, the new Hyundai Tucson Go Edition SUV, proving that it's equipped to deal with anything. Packed with extra kit, including sat-nav with live traffic updates to help you stay on the ball, plus our ever-present 5-year unlimited mileage warranty to keep you match fit. But football fan or not, with Hyundai, you can all make the most of our World Cup Tucson Go Edition. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Warranty T's and C's apply.
So like I said, the NBA is kind of a weird league, isn't it? I mean, we can see the statements from Magic Johnson kind of describe it perfectly. It doesn't always make the most sense. We have right now a situation where the same two teams have met each other 4 years in a row. But honestly, was there any shortage of drama in the NBA this last year? As much as we may have known which teams were eventually probably going to play for it all, we're still tuning in to watch these games. The NBA is highly popular with the younger generation. TV ratings are passing every sport in the United States except for the NFL. The NBA is now firmly in second place behind just the NFL in the States. And we've seen transition in the NBA. So we don't just look at it and say, well, yeah, it's just the golden era right now. And that's not the case. The NBA has transitioned from the era of like the 60s Celtics and Lakers to the Magic and Bird era in the 70s and 80s to the Michael Jordan era in the 90s to the Shaq and Kobe era in the 2000s. And now we're watching another era of basketball, and it is transition, and people are still watching, and the NBA seems to be in pretty good shape. We have a number of talented and intriguing stars playing in the NBA right now. This is a pretty good era of NBA basketball. Think of the big name talent playing in the league right now. From guys like LeBron James to Steph Curry and Kevin Durant to James Harden and Chris Paul. Anthony Davis is a good young player. Think of some of the young, talented teams that are out there on the rise. Teams like Boston. Teams like Philadelphia. There's some very, very good teams, good players out there in the NBA. It is a highly entertaining league. And because it is a highly entertaining league, we have a number of very, very interesting storylines that you're going to want to keep an eye on this summer and into next season. Because when we look at next season, what's the first thing coming out of everyone's mouth? Well, yeah, we kind of know it's LeBron James. That's the first thing I want to talk about. Where is LeBron James going to go? That is the first storyline on everybody's mind right now. Where is LeBron going to go? Because it isn't just that the LeBron show could maybe come to your town. It is also the fact that wherever LeBron James goes, can't you just see everyone saying that makes them a contender? Pick a team. It's like, just name a team. If LeBron went to Atlanta, like he joined the Atlanta Hawks right now, I wouldn't think that would be the case. I would strongly doubt that would be the case. But let's say in the next few days, LeBron James comes out and says, hey, might surprise everyone, I'm going down to Atlanta. I am going to be a Hawk. It would seem kind of crazy right now to think about. But are you telling me everyone wouldn't be looking at Atlanta and going, well, I mean, they have Trae Young. Let's see, they've got Kent Bazemore. Yeah, the Hawks are probably going to the NBA Finals from the East. Now, I don't know if it's exactly the same in the Western Conference as it is in the East. But again, take the worst team in the Western Conference. LeBron goes to Phoenix. Can the Suns knock off the Warriors? You know that would be the storyline the very next day. You know it would be coming. Where LeBron James goes will be the biggest story of the offseason, and we are going to know here in the next few days, it sounds like, at least according to him, he says he is going to make that announcement prior to July 4th. We should know where LeBron James is going, and it could shift the balance of power in the NBA. But there's a few other things that I want to talk about that are happening in the league right now, because there's one other story that could also shift the balance of power in the league. You know, the San Antonio Spurs have been a powerhouse in the NBA. They've been so good for so long that this past season, when the Spurs only finished 7th in the West, despite the fact they didn't have Kawhi Leonard for most of the season, like, we were all kind of surprised. Like, is San Antonio okay? What is going on down there? Is Greg Popovich sick? I'm not sure what's happening. We're just so used to San Antonio being good every single year. They did still make the playoffs in a very competitive conference without their best player. We kind of forget about that, though. But now, what do they do with that player? Because the other storyline we're going to want to keep an eye on this offseason is, what do the Spurs do with Kawhi Leonard? Now, if you're not quite familiar with exactly what's going on with Kawhi Leonard, let's reset that real briefly for you. Kawhi Leonard suffered a right thigh tendinopathy back in September of 2017. There was no timetable set for his return at the time. In December, head coach Greg Popovich said Kawhi would probably return sometime later that week, but he would be on a minute restriction. Kawhi played a little bit late in December, into January, into February. He had minutes restrictions, but he still was playing pretty well. He still looked pretty strong. But at the end of this past February, Kawhi Leonard said he could no longer continue to play, but that he would hope to be back in time for the playoffs. In March, you started to hear some grumbling within the San Antonio franchise. Manu Ginobili says the Spurs shouldn't be waiting around for Kawhi Leonard, because who knows when he's coming back. And even worse, point guard Tony Parker said he had the exact same injury as Kawhi, but that his was 100 times worse. Yeah, that's not going to help the relationship, is it? This past May, after hoping Kawhi would maybe return for the playoffs, it was announced he would not return for the rest of the season and that there were issues brewing with the team. Yeah, no kidding. And of course, we know now Kawhi Leonard has said he would like to be dealt. He no longer wants to be a member of the San Antonio Spurs. But you know, moving Kawhi Leonard would not only give a team a top-notch player if he's truly healthy, it would also drastically change the look of the Spurs. Now, Kawhi Leonard is due a max contract after next season. Do the Spurs make him wait and then just let him walk? They could. Do they deal him? Do they do their best to try to work things out? It sounds like he and Greg Popovich sat down and it didn't go very well. And, you know, one question I guess we all have, who's to blame for any of this? There has to be some blame for this, doesn't there? This seemed like a perfect relationship. Now it's suddenly gone the way of a possible divorce. You know, Kawhi Leonard seems like a good guy. He's a quiet guy. He never really says a whole lot. Kind of just goes out and does his job. But I don't know whether to side with him or with the Spurs, because the San Antonio Spurs, like I said, have been running a successful business for like 25 years. Now, if the Spurs do deal him, someone's going to have to give them something. It always makes me laugh. And we see it a lot in the sports world. It always kind of cracks me up when people are like, hey, you know, I've got a great idea. You know, Cleveland could just trade San Antonio like Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith and get Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, here's the problem. The Spurs are going to want something back. Like, they're not just going to give him away. I know when we're sitting at the bar, we come up with these great trade scenarios. Hey, you know what they could do? I bet they could just trade him for like George Hill and just, you know, then they'd have Kawhi. Yeah, that's not how these business deals work. The Spurs are going to want something in return. It is going to be very, very interesting to see what the San Antonio Spurs do with Kawhi Leonard. Because like I said, they're going to want something back if they're going to make a deal. Who has something to give them? Who has enough to give them that they could afford to move him? That changes things a lot. Here's another question I have going into this offseason. What are the Boston Celtics going to look like in 2019? Because we all saw that scrappy young Celtics team in the postseason. Hey, they were surprising everyone and they were doing it without what is probably their top two players. Point guard Kyrie Irving missed the second half of the season with that knee injury. Shooting guard Gordon Hayward missed the entire season with the broken ankle. But what will the Celtics look like coming back? Because they have a few free agents they have to deal with. They've got Marcus Smart, who's going to be a free agent. They've got big man Aaron Baines, who's going to be a free agent. No, I don't know if they're huge losses, but you do have to resign them. Now, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward should both be back. But what do they look like? What do they look like physically? And what is the team going to look like with them? How are the Celtics' young players going to look like with Kyrie and with Hayward back in the lineup? Does Kyrie even want to stay in Boston? We've heard a number of those rumors. The Celtics are loaded with talented young players. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. But what do they look like with another year of experience in this system? And don't forget, the Boston Celtics do have a stockpile of draft picks. If they wanted to deal for more players, if they wanted to go make a run at Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, they've got picks they could at least offer. The Boston Celtics and how they look next year could be very, very interesting. They could be the next great team on the rise. Here's another question I have. Do the Golden State Warriors make some sort of roster moves? Because we all knew that the Golden State Warriors were going to win the title this year, right? And yet, there were at least a couple of minutes of doubt, especially in that Houston series. If Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, I don't know. I think the Warriors maybe still survive, but I'm not positive of it. Now, some of the reason that Golden State struggled, as much as they are dominant, they do have some flaws within that team. There just doesn't seem to be a team that is capable of taking advantage enough of those flaws. The Warriors don't have much of an inside presence. They're smart enough to create inside looks, but they don't have that big inside guy, and their lack of a bench was extremely visible in the postseason. The Warriors were bringing guys like Nick Young and JaVale McGee in off the bench. Think about that. Like 5 years ago, you could have made a bet in Vegas whether or not Swaggy P and JaVale were going to win a title, and Vegas would have been like, hey, name your odds. That's never going to happen. Now, they both have rings. But how long can the Warriors trust those shaky knees of Andre Iguodala? That was a little bit scary. His absence was huge in the postseason. Yes, young players like Kevin Looney and Patrick McCaw and Jordan Bell should improve. But do the Warriors go out and see if they could find a veteran that was willing to take a minimum deal in order to chase a ring? If so, the Warriors could look a little bit different next year, and they could even be a little bit better next year. And I think the last storyline that I'm really looking for this offseason is, are we going to see another super team? You know, when Kevin Durant decided to join the Golden State Warriors back in 2016, the term super team came into play more than ever in the NBA. But it's not new. We have seen past super teams. The Lakers back in the 60s with Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain. In the 70s, we had the Milwaukee Bucks with Lou Alcindor, of course, later changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Oscar Robertson. In the 1980s, the Philadelphia 76ers had Moses Malone and Julius Erving. In the 1990s, we saw the Houston Rockets try to put together a super team with Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Charles Barkley, and Scottie Pippen, and they didn't win anything. In the 2000s, we had the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe and Karl Malone and Gary Payton and Horace Grant. We also have seen the Boston Celtics put together a super team. They had Rajon Rondo, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. And of course, in 2010, we saw the Miami Heat with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and some guy who took his talents to South Beach.
Not five, not six, not seven.
Super teams in the NBA are nothing new, despite what some certain young NFL players think, or just millennials in general might think. But here's the thing. We're all waiting and watching this offseason to see if there will be another super team built in this NBA, because there are some big name guys out there. It won't be easy to put them together, though. You have LeBron. You have Chris Paul. You have Paul George. Maybe a Kawhi Leonard. You have Boogie Cousins. You have DeAndre Jordan. You have JJ Redick. They could all be available. Could a small group of these guys be convinced to maybe take less money and join up and try to knock off the Warriors? I think it will be worth watching. My only concern would be that NBA salary cap numbers are down, and as a result, it could make it very, very tough to put together too much, especially when we're hearing all these players are saying they all want max deals. Well, go ahead and take your max deal, I guess, if you want. Just know, if you do, we're probably going to be seeing the Golden State Warriors raise another trophy next spring. Got a number of storylines to keep in mind over this offseason and into next season. And one of the biggest I want to see is anyone going to try to put together another team and see if they can make a run at the Warriors? It's going to be interesting to watch. Hey, coming back, speaking of NBA free agency, that is going to officially begin this coming weekend. There's a lot of talk about who could be going where, who's going to be dealing for who, but we all know the same thing. Money talks. So here is my question for today's Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
Which NBA teams actually have any real money to spend? I'll give you a hint. There aren't very many.
At Experian.co.uk, we know being single's no fun. That's why we do everything we can to help you meet your ideal match, your data self.
Until I met my data self, I had no idea which credit card was right for me. He was able to show me the ones I was eligible for before I even applied. It really has changed my life.
Find out how your data self could help you make better financial decisions at Experian.co.uk. Experian Limited is a credit broker, not a lender working with selected lenders.
Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you should probably head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. July's Loot Crate theme is out. It is called Team Up, and it features items from Ant-Man vs. Wasp, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Adventure Time. And maybe even more exciting than that, this month's crate actually features two t-shirts in it. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Hey, if you can save a little bit of money and get two cool t-shirts in it, it's not the worst deal. You might want to go check out lootcrate.com. Okay, so on Wednesdays, we like to take a look at something current, maybe get some actual stats, some actual numbers involved, and make a ranking that can't really be argued with. It's not an opinion, it's just facts. And today, on our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings,
Hump Day,
we are taking a look at which NBA teams actually have some money to spend in free agency. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to dissect the salary cap rules of the NBA. There are bona fide, like, accountants that are afraid to wade into that mess. But we can look at some very simple numbers and see who has money to spend and which big name free agents of their own do they need to sign first before they go out and get anyone else. Here are the five NBA teams with the most potential salary cap space in the NBA right now. Starting off at number five, we have the Dallas Mavericks with $30.8 million potentially. Now, the Mavericks have to sign a few people though. Dirk Nowitzki is a free agent. That is a team option, so he's not going anywhere. But Nerlens Noel and Doug McDermott are restricted free agents. We'll see what the Mavericks do. The Mavericks are probably going to have to put a lot of that money towards Dirk, but we'll see if maybe he would take a lesser deal just so the Mavericks could possibly go get one other player. But the Mavericks come in at number five. Moving on to number four, we talked about him a little bit earlier in the show. The Atlanta Hawks have $32.8 million potentially, and they don't have a ton of players down there that they need to re-sign. They will be able to use a lot of that $32.8 million on trying to go find players. Because, yes, they have some players to re-sign, but let's be honest, the Hawks don't have a whole lot of talent. So they come in at number four. Moving on to number three, we have the Chicago Bulls at $36.7 million. Now, they do have to sign Zach LaVine. He is a restricted free agent. Other than that, you could apply a chunk and maybe go find some more talent for this team. The Chicago Bulls are kind of a sneaky team over in that East. I could see them get better sooner rather than later. Moving on to number two, and I'm going to say something, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to say it anyways. This team has a few people that they need to resign, but I'm telling you right now, the Indiana Pacers have $51.8 million. Now, Thaddeus Young is out there. They need to resign him. Lance Stephenson, whatever you want to do with him. Glenn Robinson III, he's out there. Not a whole lot of money wrapped up there. Can I just throw out one theory? Just lobbing this out there. If I were the Indiana Pacers, I would go take $51 million and say, hey, can we get LeBron James and maybe one other player to come here? Because the Indiana Pacers do have Victor Oladipo. The Indiana Pacers do have Miles Turner. That is not a bad team. And if you're LeBron, you could look at the Indiana Pacers and say, I get to stay in the East. We know that's important. I can probably go clear to the finals with that lineup. I would be getting paid a decent amount of money, and I could say I am going to try to win a title for the heart of basketball right here in Indiana. I'm just lobbing that out there. The Indiana Pacers come in at number two. Could that be a sneaky destination for LeBron James? I know no one's talking about it. It sounds crazy. I don't know if it's that crazy. Indiana could be a location that wouldn't be the worst in the world. I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm just saying the way I look at it, Indiana could be an inviting situation. Finally, we move on to our number one team who has the most potential salary cap space in the NBA this next season, with the Los Angeles Lakers at $59.7 million. Now, they do have some free agents. Brook Lopez, Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, Julius Randle. What do you do with a few of those guys? Do they go out and just say, hey, LeBron, come out. Here's as much money as we have. Come take the money. I know the supporting cast is not going to be great, but you could come out here and be a Los Angeles Laker. Or could you get some people to say, hey, maybe Chris Paul goes and takes less money. Maybe Paul George would go and take less money and team up with LeBron, with Lonzo, with Kyle Kuzma, some of those guys, and see if they could make a run in the West. Again, I've said this before. The problem with LeBron going to the Lakers is not about money or anything else. I just think if LeBron goes to the Lakers, I think it is going to be very, very tough for him to get much help out there immediately. I think it would be a 1, 2, 3 year plan before he could really get some help in there where he could actually contend. And in the meantime, the Los Angeles Lakers, they might make the playoffs, but they would have a very, very tough time advancing in those playoffs. They just have too much inexperience at key spots. Los Angeles Lakers do have the most money, but you know, when you look at the landscape of the NBA right now, there's just not a lot of money out there. A lot of these teams are strapped into contracts or they have players coming due. There is just not a ton of money out there. As free agency begins, you might want to keep in mind these five teams. They don't have a ton, but they do have a little. And it is making me wonder if LeBron James is going to take a one-year deal with Cleveland and then look at the market next year and say, okay, next year I'll get a much, much bigger deal in a much better situation. It's going to be very, very interesting to keep an eye on. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be looking at the latest and greatest in breaking sports news. And you know, we might actually have to discuss a little NFL on the show. A couple things coming out in the news this week. Want to talk a little bit about the NFL this week. And as usual on Thursdays, we will see if there are any Daily Dose overreactions of the week. There's not a ton of news out right now, so I don't know if there's a ton of overreactions, but we will take a look around the sports media world and see if we can find any. Hey, I'd say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails, the texts, and the tweets. If you would like to contact us, hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. I'd say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
For everyone who wants more from their Wi-Fi. For everyone who wants to stream their podcasts upstairs and down. For everyone who's been stung by unexpected broadband price hikes. TalkTalk has your back. Because our faster fibre comes with our promise of no mid-contract price rises and includes our all-new Wi-Fi hub. With our fastest, strongest, most reliable signal yet. All for just £25.50 a month for 18 months. Search TalkTalk Fibre. TalkTalk for everyone. £30 setup fee, contracts and conditions apply.